This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Right now we want to talk about the Browns and the Saints coming up Sunday. That game is in New Orleans, and we are joined by John DeShazier from the Saints, NewOrleansSaints.com. Not Saints.com, NewOrleansSaints.com. He's a senior writer with a very nice resume, including the Times Picayune, and also covers basketball as well. He is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Hi, John. How are you?
I'm great. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. First of all, your thoughts on this week's game and what you think of the Browns prior to this game.
Well, I mean, you know, I think you have to be pretty impressed with how the Browns finished out that game. Now, obviously, you know, bad weather, and it was a mucky game, and I guess for three quarters it didn't look very good, but the way they finished it out to get to that tie, I know they had the field goal blocked in overtime and had some opportunities to win it, but still, for a franchise that has had as little success as the Browns have had for the previous two seasons, to fight back in a game like that and put yourself in position to win it and be able to come out of it with a tie. I know a lot of times they say, you know, ties like kissing your sister, but that had to be a pretty sweet kiss for the Browns that you hadn't won in a long time. So, you know, I'm pretty impressed with the way they were able to handle themselves.
We're trying to have a complete makeover up here, especially with the new general manager. Do you feel like, and there's a lot of times that we've been on this show for the last couple of years, where it's been like, oh, okay, here come the Browns. It's a bye week. What do you think the respect factor is coming into this thing?
Well, I think it's a great respect factor. And let's be real here. I mean, the Saints lost a game 48-40 where they gave up 41 points on defense. So they're not looking at anybody, you know, down their noses and saying, okay, we've got this one. I mean, they've had some issues that they wanted to clean up this week, and they're certainly not taking the Browns lightly. I mean, I don't know if you can necessarily take one game and extrapolate it and say that the Browns are a respectable team now, or they're, you know, 8-8 team or whatever, but certainly you can't dismiss what you saw in that first game. You can't dismiss the new cast of characters that they had that helped them get that result. And so, again, as I said before, with the Saints having the position that they're in, they're 0-1, and actually Cleveland got a better record. So the Saints can't be looking down their nose at them right now. The Saints need to get a win. You know, they were hoping to come in out of this first two games at home 2-0, and at best now they can do 1-1. So they're certainly not looking at the Browns saying this is a breather.
John, what happened against Tampa Bay?
Didn't get any stops whatsoever defensively, which was really shocking, because this defense looked pretty good in training camp, and it looked, you know, fairly good in preseason games. And you know, I didn't think they would be the steel curtain, you know, or the 85 Bears or anything by that stretch of imagination. But I didn't think they wouldn't be able to get a single stop, really, against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay only punted one time. Ryan Fitzpatrick might have played the game of his life, but he played the game of his life because they did some nice execution against the Saints, and they caught him up. The Saints did it with a lot of technique issues that led to, you know, them giving up more than 500 yards. But Ryan Fitzpatrick was fantastic at quarterback, but again, they didn't apply any pressure to him, didn't sack him once. I think they got three late hits on him, but they didn't sack him once. The receivers, Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson, had a field day with the Saints secondary and the corners, and a lot of it really had to do with a lot of defensive deficiencies, which we did not expect to see out of the Saints. I mean, when you score 40 points, even though they scored a couple of them late in the fourth quarter, but when you score the way the Saints offense is capable of scoring, you know, you put 40 points on the board, you feel like that ought to be a win. And, I mean, they needed to scramble to get 40 to put themselves in position to maybe get a stop and tie it late, and then still couldn't get that last stop to get the ball back. So a lot of defensive deficiencies in that first game, and that was the biggest thing.
John, let me ask you about the quote from yesterday with Drew Brees saying that Baker Mayfield can be a lot better than me. Is that – just knowing Drew and covering him when I was in Columbus and he played at Purdue, I always thought he was a pure class guy. And I think it just kind of follows suit to where he is now in his career. But what did you think of when he said that yesterday?
Well, I mean, at this point, you know, you I guess you want to say he's being nice. I mean,
right.
Because, I mean, think about it. Drew Brees is on the cusp of being the all-time leading passer in NFL history. If he plays another 2-3 years, he's probably going to have the touchdown record. I guess that's a neck-and-neck race between he and Tom Brady right now. So to say that Baker Mayfield's got a chance to be better than him, you know, that's being nice. I mean, because we don't know exactly what Mayfield can do. We think we know what he can do right now, but, you know, he hadn't been on the field and able to do it in a regular season game until you get out there and do it in the regular season. All that preseason stuff can look good and it can sound good and it can make everybody feel good, but you've got to get out there on the regular season on Sundays when people are specifically game planning and really breaking down your film and saying, okay, this is what he likes to do, this is what he can't do, and those kinds of things. So, you know, I would imagine he's got a long way to go, but, I mean, you know, you don't take the guy number one overall for no reason. I mean, the Browns obviously believe in him from everything you hear and have seen of his days at Oklahoma. He looks like a really good leader. He looks like a guy who his teammates follow, and they, you know, take a lot of the swag from him. But, you know, until he gets out there and does it, you know, he hadn't done it.
John DeShazer joining us, senior writer for NewOrleansSaints.com. John, Greg Williams, defensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns, heading back to New Orleans. Is that whole situation still anything that's on the Saints' radar?
I don't think so. I mean, but again, you know, you use any shred of anything for inspiration if you're in the NFL, and certainly, you know, they you know Greg Williams, and everybody knows that situation. So, you know, at the time there were hard feelings. I don't know if those hard feelings still exist, but I know that the Saints did a number on his Rams defense a couple of years ago and really took him to the woodshed. I think it was a 41-10 game or something like that where they just shredded his defense. And, you know, again, with Greg Williams, you know what you're going to get from his defense. He's going to, you know, grab the kitchen sink, the bathroom sink, the tub, and everything else and throw it at you and see if he can, you know, rattle your quarterback, because, you know, in the NFL, if you can pressure the opposing quarterback, that makes your life a whole lot easier. And I was looking up some basic numbers, and, you know, early on in Drew Brees' career when he was younger, you know, Greg Williams, you know, his defenses were able to do that. But when they saw him a couple of years ago, that was the fully formed Hall of Fame bound Drew Brees, and he had a field day against them. So, you know, but, you know, I don't necessarily know if there are hard feelings, you know, existing, because, you know, most of the players on this team are not players from that era. They're all gone, so they don't even know Greg Williams. A lot of the coaching staff has turned over from there. And, you know, again, you know, you want to be able to, you know, lean back on something for inspiration and something to boost you up. But I just don't know if that good old-fashioned dislike is there anymore.
John, can you touch on Ted Ginn Jr.? He's a pride of Cleveland guy. His dad's a legend here as a high school coach. Just how he's fit in since last year and how he's playing. How's he doing?
Well, Ted Ginn is a guy, I think I tweeted during, you know, preseason or something, you know, Ted Ginn's going to be, you know, when Ted Ginn gets to be 50, he's going to be able to still outrun guys who are probably 20 years younger. I mean, he's just, you know, he's a marvel when it comes to being able to run fast. And he's, you know, he's that guy who can take the top off the defense. And I think they made him up, and I'm not necessarily the Saints. I think it happened some in Carolina, too, where he started to become a more well-rounded receiver as his career has progressed. He's been a lot more productive on the back end of his career than he was on the front end of his career. And I think then they might have thought he was just a kick returner and punt returner, but now he looks like much more of a complete receiver, which you have to be, because, you know, if you can only hurt a defense in one way, then they know exactly how to play you. But Peggy's been able to hurt him deep, and he's been able to hurt teams on intermediate routes. Now, he's not a guy who you're going to run on a ton of slants and those kinds of things, but he can certainly still inspire a fear on a defense, because he can get behind anybody. He, you know, if he's even, he's leaving. He's got you. And so he's one of those guys who has been well for the Saints, because he came in and kind of played the Brandon Cooks role where, you know, you stretch the defense, you force them to have to play you too deep. If they want to play you man-to-man, then you can really make them pay for it, and he's been able to do that.
Alvin Kamara probably surprised a lot of people last year, John, with his ability to come in and really become a big-time running back. Mark Ingram not in there right now. Is the Saints offense the same without Ingram, without that back combination?
Well, you missed some of that running between the tackles with Mark. And Mark was, you know, I think Mark didn't get enough credit for being as versatile as he was or is as a running back in terms of being a really good receiver and also being a guy who's really good in blitz pickup. So when Mark's on the field, much like Alvin, you don't necessarily know what the Saints are going to be. They're multidimensional offensively because he can catch it, he can run it, he can block in the passing game. And so when you don't have him, you're missing that. And yet, man, Alvin's a freak. I mean, Alvin is something to behold. He's, you know, he doesn't take, you know, head-on shots because, you know, he's just so elusive. He's got the best feet that I can recall seeing. I mean, he's just a guy who's got extremely good balance. He's extremely shifty. He's a lot faster than you think. He's got the hands of a receiver. And when you see all the things that he's able to do in the NFL, you always look back and wonder what the heck were they thinking at Tennessee to not use him in those same ways, because he can do things that can really just make you marvel. Even in this opening game, as good as his rookie season was, we were saying, you know what, Alvin's improved. He's better right now. You can't send a linebacker out there against him, you know, in the flat, or you can't put a linebacker on him trying to cover him downfield. And I really don't think you can use a safety on him. If he's on a pass route, you probably better have a corner on him. And then even then, you know, Alvin's shifty enough and he's strong enough to where he's able to run through tackles. He's been a treat to watch because, you know, he's so talented and he works really hard at it. I mean, it looks easy and natural for him, but you see him working at it. And a lot of it is, you know, kind of easy and natural. You know, his ability to catch the ball, he's like a wide receiver who's playing running back. But he's talented. He's special. He's really special.
Do you ever feel like you're covering Ohio State South with Ginn and
pretty much,
and Coleman
pretty much.
And Lattimore?
You got Lattimore. You got Ted Ginn Jr. You got Michael Thomas. Yeah. Now Vaughn Bell. For a while had another kid around. So I mean, you know, they like the way Ohio State develops their players. And by the way, have JT Barry here playing quarterback on the practice squad too. They like the way those kids have developed at Ohio State. They like the competitiveness that they see out of those kids from Ohio State. And those guys, from the Saints standpoint, everyone that they picked has adjusted to the NFL almost immediately. I think all of them have come in and started for the Saints. Ted Ginn Jr., obviously they got him a little bit later, but Michael Thomas, Vaughn Bell, Marshawn, all those guys came in NFL ready. They were ready to play the day they came to camp. And so, you know, they've had a lot of success in getting those guys. And now we look in Cleveland, we've got Denzel Ward, another guy who came in ready-made, ready to play, obviously. So, you know, they seem to be able to turn out guys, at least defensively, who are ready to play in the NFL.
Crazy. All right, can I throw you a basketball question while we got you here?
Sure.
All right, so there was a little bit of talk about Anthony Davis and just your thoughts on it, because there was one storyline that I saw this morning, you know, if things don't go well there, that he's going to end up in with the Lakers. Just your thoughts on that.
Well, all we can go by is what he said. He says he's happy. He got the long-term contract, and, you know, he's probably going to do another one here when he can supermax here pretty soon. So, you know, all we can go by is what he said. Now, you know, is it true? You know, only his inner circle really knows, but I think he had a lot of fun playing with this team last year to win a playoff series and get into the second round and lost 4-1 to Golden State. But really, that 4-1, if you look deeper into it, they won a game. They basically got robbed a game and then played them really competitive in another game, too. So, you know, not to say that they were going to beat Golden State, but I think he liked the way that the thing was arcing, even without DeMarcus Cousins. Now, losing Rajon Rondo, I think, really hurts this franchise because, you know, Rajon Rondo was such – an elite point guard in terms of getting guys in the right place and really getting guys to play hard. The small things that Rondo does for a team, if he's on your team, you'll notice how guys play different when he's on the floor. So that really hurt the Pelicans. But, I mean, I think, you know, again, everything AD says is he likes it here. He seems to enjoy being in New Orleans. People let him be himself when he's on the street. They don't bother him a whole lot. And then again, you know, I think he really likes the offensive system that Alton Gentry has in place, because it allows him to be free flowing. And, you know, if he wants to take a three, that's fine. And I don't think he don't want to make a living out of doing that, but he has the versatility to be able to do that. And, you know, I know he didn't really love playing the center position, but in today's NBA, with him playing the five, he is basically unstoppable. I mean, the only guy I can think that can, you know, really have a handle with him or do anything with him is Joel Embiid, because for the most part, you know, he basically just runs rampant and ravages every other guy playing the center. So
John,
we'll have to see how it goes, but hopefully this team can continue to crest in the right direction, and he'll want to stay and hopefully and maybe build a championship contender here.
Now that's how we kind of feel here in Cleveland. I hope he stays there for your sake and for the city's sake, too. John, thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Outstanding. Love to have you back on again some other time. John DeShazier, senior writer for Saints.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.